8:15 here on 2SER Breakfast. Tess here with you. It's been a little while since I've been able to delve into the world of cinema with Michael Jones. I feel like it's been ages, but we are hopping back on the train and Michael joins us now to give us our dose of cinema for the week. Morning, Michael.
Welcome aboard, Tess.
I'm so ready. What are we looking at?
We've got three films to get through.
Three,
and I'll start with a film that was the most disappointing of the three. The Girl in the Spider's Web, starring Claire Foy, Stephen Merchant, Sylvia Hirks, Lakeith Stanfield, Vicky Krieps, and Sverre Gunnarsson. This one's directed by Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe. Did you catch that film a couple of years ago?
No, I didn't, but I know Claire Foy is from The Crown.
She is.
And there we
she's
are.
Had a lot of work since then, and this is one of those jobs. Look, The Girl in the Spider's Web, it's a sequel of sorts to David Fincher's version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in 2011. Albeit with a totally different cast and based on a book written by David Lagercrantz rather than Stieg Larsson's original Millennium series. That's not to say David Lagercrantz's book is bad. He continues the Elizabeth Salander story quite nicely, maintaining the continuity of the Millennium universe. However, the celluloid version of The Girl in the Spider's Web seems to resemble David Lagercrantz's book in name only. The characters are there too, but everything else seems to have been twisted and changed and turned, and many of the details of Elizabeth Salander's backstory and even the film's basic plot have been so dumbed down that The Girl in the Spider's Web becomes just another sort of generic, conventional action thriller, offering very, very little of interest to those who've actually read the book or even those who haven't read the book. Claire Foy, she's a terrific actor, but I just got the feeling she was not quite the right person to play Elizabeth Salander. She's kind of the wrong age and kind of the wrong shape.
Wrong Elizabeth.
Great actor and does has done well with what she's got, but to me she's not Elizabeth Salander.
Okay.
As someone who's read all of the books and watched all of the Swedish versions of the films and the David Fincher version. Just doesn't feel quite right. Anyway, look, you will definitely not be ensnared by The Girl in the Spider's Web. It's just far too predictable and unthrilling to be any sort of interesting thriller. I'll move on to a film that had a bit more interest and it was a bit more satisfying.
We're on the way up.
We are. We certainly are. I'll move on to Journey's End, starring Sam Claflin, Paul Bettany, Asa Butterfield, Stephen Graham and Thomas Sturridge. This one's directed by Saul Dibb, who made a film called The Duchess a few years back. Given the time of year, November 8, and the fact that November 11 will make it 100 years since the end of World War I, we're probably due for this film, set in the British trenches in northern France in the early spring of 1918. Journey's End was originally a play written by R.C. Sheriff back in 1928, which was made into a film in 1930 and even published as a novel with the help of journalist Vernon Bartlett, also in 1930. The story was then adapted for a film called Aces High in 1976, until we finally get this version, which was filmed in 2017 and again set in the trenches. Now, what's it about? It's about a young second lieutenant, Raleigh is his surname. He's played by Asa Butterfield, who looks way too young to be a second lieutenant. Asa Butterfield looks about 12. The guy's probably about 25 or 30 now, but he's been around so long. He still looks 12. He's just been posted to the front where he's thrilled to be serving with Captain Stanhope, played by Sam Claflin. Stanhope was a boyhood idol of Raleigh's from school days. He was also a love interest of Raleigh's sister. But what young Raleigh doesn't realise is that the war has had quite an effect on Stanhope, and he and the other officers at this part of the front are definitely mentally scarred from years of war and being pounded by the Hun. And they also all have this certainty of impending doom. The British stiff upper lip is really starting to quiver. For those of you unfamiliar with World War I history, Google Spring Offensive 1918 and you might work out that this film is not going to end happily for everyone.
Oh, good.
Or possibly anyone.
That was my next question.
Yes, this is the classic tale of the futility of war and the waste of so many young lives. But even though it's on a very small scale, this film beautifully depicts the tension and apprehension of life in the trenches and also the claustrophobia and horror of it all. It's a really interesting, watchable film. Great performances. Journey's End, it's well worth the trip.
Okay, we got one more.
One to go.
Flip the pages.
Boy Erased. This one stars Lucas Hedges, Joel Edgerton, Nicole Kidman, and Russell Crowe together for the first time on film.
I knew those names.
And Flea. makes a cameo in this one. It's directed by Joel Edgerton as well, who also wrote the screenplay.
I'm still stuck on Flea.
Don't get too stuck on him. He doesn't have a huge part in the film.
Okay.
But it's quite memorable. Look, this film is based on Gerard Connolly's memoir, Boy Erased. It's the story of a guy called Jared, played by Lucas Hedges. He's a college junior who's forced to attend gay conversion therapy by his Baptist minister father, Marshall, played by Russell Crowe, and a compliant mother, Nancy, played by Nicole Kidman, if he doesn't want to be disowned and kicked out of the house.
Good-o.
When he's there, he meets an interesting fellow called Victor Sykes, played by Joel Edgerton. Victor Sykes runs the program, and it soon becomes obvious that Victor's methods are not just slightly questionable, but they border on abuse.
I just assumed conversion therapy was abuse.
Well, yeah, you know. The boy Erased, it's a pretty harrowing drama to watch at times, you know, given the subject matter. But what makes this film interesting is that director Joel Edgerton's attempts to ensure that the compassion of Connolly's original source material, I think that's a bit of a tautology, source material comes through on screen. Like, Jared still really does love his parents and really wants to do whatever he can to please them. So he willingly goes along to the gay conversion therapy. His parents, Marshall and Nancy, they're more than just sort of Bible-bashing homophobic tropes. They're actually depicted as intelligent and open-minded to a point, of course.
Oh.
Open-minded to a point, prepared to listen to what their son has to say. They obviously love him and they honestly believe that they're helping him. Even Victor Sykes is depicted with some humanity in this film. He's often shown in moments of introspection and sometimes even self-doubt. Now, just on Victor Sykes, don't walk out as soon as the movie fades to black. You'll learn some very interesting information about Victor Sykes. The real Victor Sykes. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
You might laugh. Overall, Boy Erased, it's a very, very solid film, unlike The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes.
This one has quite a satisfying conclusion and should rub out any positive ideas anyone ever had about gay conversion therapy.
Good-o. Thanks for that, Michael.
Pleasure.